All right, Mark chapter 4, and we're looking at, starting verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." Interesting words that Jesus is continuing on with his teaching of parables. Now, last week we introduced parables. We understand that we're looking for a central point. We are had Jesus kind of explain some of the reasons why he's teaching the parables. And we're starting to make these distinctions on who's outside and who's inside. And often those distinctions are surprising to us. Those that we think are surely in are not. And those who surely are not in are in. And that's the kingdom of God in a nutshell, isn't it? It's God's way. And it's a struggle for people to bend their, change their thinking, to bend their thoughts and their lives and their minds into a cross-shaped life rather than this self-centered life. And we have to understand that what we're looking at is not just about inside outside, but it's the heart, it's the motivation of Jesus' followers. All right, the door is open, the invitation is out there, but are you going to hear it? Is what Jesus is asking. Jesus' followers are those who are truly seeking and actually following Jesus. Those who have understanding. Now, those who are seeking power or privilege or spectacle, those are the outside. And they don't understand. They do not have understanding. Because, as we saw last week and we mentioned more today, is the kingdom of God is cruciform. It's cross-shaped. And that is an offense to this world. It is offensive in a strange way. Even though we often celebrate selfish acts from people, and we lift up as heroes our firemen or military who would sacrifice themselves for the sake of others. But even in those rare instances where we see that, in many other areas of life, it's just odd to be cross-driven. So today, we're seeing two things in these verses 23 to 24 and 24. Jesus says in 23, he says, if you have ears, use them. Okay? You have ears, hear. And then, when you hear, carefully consider what you are hearing. All right? So there's two parts. Hear, yes. But don't just be diligent. Be considerate. Literally, the words there in the Greek are see what you hear. All right? So those who can hear, hear, and those that are hearing, please see what you're hearing. Understand it deeper. All right? And again, the invitation here is open. The question that we have today is, what will you do with this invitation? So it starts out with this metaphor of a lamp on a stand. Now, Jesus uses this in other places. Probably rings familiar, right? The most prevalent one that you may come to mind is the Sermon on the Mount. And I think we see here that Jesus often will use some of the same pictures and metaphors, but in different ways. The Sermon on the Mount metaphor, where he says, you are the light of the world, right? And then so let your shine before others. That's not exactly what Jesus is going for here, right? But it's still the same picture. Same picture that, but a little different meaning. He has a question with an obvious answer, right? It makes no sense to have a candle or a lamp and put a bowl on top of it. What's going to happen? It goes out. You take your lamp or a candle, put it underneath the bed covers. What's going to happen? It's going to burn up. Right? So this is, he's giving them an easy answer, but maybe not an easy meaning. He's referring to the dynamics of the kingdom of God, these secret things. And He's trying to make the secret not so secret. Our, the true nature of God's kingdom is often hidden because so few understand that it is cross-shaped. That they're seeking their alternatives. These large crowds are coming to him, but why are they coming to him? What is their motivation? What is their heart? They're so taken up often with, you know, the idea of liberation and the resentment for Rome. They're so taken up with the spectacle of things, with the healings and the demons being, you know, cast out. And yet, they're not paying attention to what Jesus is really about. And he's trying to get them to understand. Yet, the kingdom of God will not remain hidden. And that's the point that he's trying to make here. Right? It may seem like no one's getting it. But just like when you go into a dark room with a light, things are exposed. God's kingdom will be revealed, is being revealed. And that is good news. It's meant to be. It's supposed to be revealed. But it's, what are you revealing? And what Jesus is telling you is, hey, it's me. All right, folks? It's me. Look at me. This is what you want to see. And then the second part is that he's telling us then to hear these things, but carefully hear. It's the same thing we heard back in verse 9, when he says, let he who has ears, let him hear, and then carefully hear. Those who belong to the kingdom of God are responsible to really listen, to give diligent attention to what is said. All right? We are... That is that our activity in it. We are participants with God in this kingdom. And we are called to carefully hear. Listen. Listen closely. You have the idea, I think, of the picture is one of leaning in. You know, like, I want to hear. I want to make sure I get it. Don't miss what I'm going to say. You know, often when someone lowers a voice, it's an orator, a technique in speeches that I start being quiet. You guys are going to have to listen, aren't you? Listen closely because I'm saying something important. I'm not yet, but I will. All right. So carefully hear. Give diligent attention because, here's why. Because there are forces in this world, dynamic forces that work to confuse, that work to corrupt our understanding of Jesus and the crucible nature of the kingdom. All right? Our natural tendency is not towards a cruciform shape of life. The natural tendency of this world is not towards a cruciform-shaped life. And so everything, the advertising, the things we see, our jobs, it all works to twist and distract and corrupt. And so Jesus said, be diligent. Listen. Hear and listen. Because there's so much there that's going to distract you away from what the kingdom of God is really, really about. Carefully consider. The possibility of understanding the kingdom through our own hopes, our own dreams, our fears, our prejudices, is something we must guard against constantly. We have to self-examine all the time of why am I reading this? How am I reading these words? How am I listening? And what is Jesus really telling us? Are the applications that I am putting to God's word what Jesus is really saying? And when people apply Jesus' words to harm others or exclude others or whatever, you know that it's not right. They're not listening. They're not carefully and diligently listening. And at the end of this little few verses here, Jesus kind of gives us a comparison of the diligence versus complacency. All right? When he says, the measure we measure, we measure to you. And whoever given has, we given more. And whoever does not have, that even that we have, we've taken away. There's some hard words here. Now, in kingdom of God, the principle in God's kingdom is that the measure you use, that you will get back and even more. Okay? That's the principle. It's one of, if you are generous, you know, you will be given back even more than you thought you would give, right? That's the principle, right? You know, if you give 100 you'll give back 200. You'll cast your bread upon the water. More, you know, all these. That's a principle of God. That's a principle that God has in his kingdom. Of generosity, of diligence, of persistence. And so those who are diligent with what Jesus is saying, they'll not only just understand. Here's the great thing. They're not only just going to understand what's going on, they're going to get more than they expected. When you're following Jesus, and you're hearing what he's saying, and you're really leaning in, and you're really digging, say, okay, what does this mean? What do you want me to do, Lord? You're going to understand more and more than you ever even thought you could. However, those who are complacent, who put little effort to grasp the character of the kingdom, the cruciform nature of this kingdom, they'll have whatever understanding they do have taken away. Now, the first part, that's promising, right? I mean, that's good news. I'm going to dig in and I'll get even more than I expected back. That second part, though, that's a little troublesome. Even reading it, we're like, okay, wait. You're telling me that those who are just kind of maybe checking things out or they don't know much, that they're just getting that taken away? I mean, how are like brand new Christians going to make it? If they have so little and they don't understand, what's going to happen to them? Again, think back to the soils. Okay, we met that last week. You had hard, you had rocky, you had thorns, you had good soils. All right? Those who are complacent, who are presumptuous, those who are assuming that they're insiders, those who are seeking acknowledgement, seeking power, seeking exaltation, that's who we're talking about here. We're talking those who are misappropriating and misunderstanding what the kingdom of God is all about. And Jesus is telling you, hey, if that's how you're coming at me or trying to understand me, even that little bit, you're going to go away. It's a dynamic process. It's like being in a river, right? If you're in a canoe on a river and I want to go upstream, I want to paddle upstream, I got to keep on paddling. If I stop paddling, if I think, oh no, I'm just going to kind of see how this goes, you're going backwards. That's the principle here. The little you have is going to be taken away. She said, no, listen, hear, lean in, be diligent, carefully consider. And if you don't, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction. Jesus' teaching is meant to be unsettling, challenging. It helps us to examine our hearts and say, okay, am I being complacent? Am I diligent? I want to make sure I am. And not being presumptuous in this idea. So I think what we're seeing here is that there's a kingdom of God principle of growing and understanding and of wisdom. All right? The idea of careful hearing and understanding is throughout Scripture, right? Look at Proverbs chapter 1. There's a couple here that's very appropriate. Right at Proverbs, you look at verses 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then later in chapter 1 at verse 32, writer says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. There's a principle of seeking wisdom, of listening. And we see there that the Proverbs, it begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with him. There's an ancient saying of the church, Anselm, said that the Christian pursuit of knowledge is faith seeking understanding. It's our faith, in our faith, seeking understanding and wisdom. This is the character and the characteristic of how Jesus speaks in his understanding of the kingdom of God. You know, the idea here is that those who give careful and obedient attention to what Jesus is saying will come to a disproportional understanding of it. All right? And we see here that, again, in God's economy, faith comes first. faith precedes our understanding. See, modern thinking of understanding is like a, you know, the old philosopher René Descartes. How do you say it? I'm terrible with those French words. Descartes, thank you. Okay, his idea was strip it all down. Just doubt everything. And only grab onto what you can see, what you can verify, and establish knowledge from that. What the human mind can perceive and rationally establish, then only then can you accept it and verify it. And then once that is done, then you can live accordingly to whatever that you can see and that and come to that knowledge. All right? We live in light of that. Understanding and knowledge precede commitment. I'm not going to go down this road. I'm not going to commit myself to this until I get right down to it and I know everything about it. And then I'll move forward in my commitment. In God's kingdom, it's the opposite. It's different, isn't it? We come to faith. We say, I'm going to follow this man, Jesus. And in doing that, in leaning in and looking at understanding, then we get more than we even expected. It's a different way. And it's God's way. Scripture runs this kind of thing all the time. Look, turn your Bible to Psalm 111. Well, you don't have to. I wrote it down here. And we saw it earlier, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Where does understanding start? Fear the Lord. It's not get understanding, read these words, get understanding, and then you will fear the Lord. No, he says, come to know this Lord. Fear him, know him, and then you will gain understanding. Commitment precedes wisdom. Obedient life then leads to understanding. I will have you turn to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 7. Because Jesus, he teaches this. He wants to understand it. So at 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Right? See what he's saying here. You want to understand me. You want to know that my teaching is right? Do it. Obey it. Do his will and you'll see that I'm right. Later on in chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus emphasizes again, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You see what it means? If you hold on to teaching, then you'll be disciples. Disciples are those who have, they're hanging on to the teaching. Their faith is in Christ. And then if you do that, you're going to know me and be my disciple. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As is often the case, well, it's always the case, I rely heavily upon smart people. And this commentary by the name of Timothy Gombas. I'm going to read a section here because I was reading and going, oh, I could sum that up. And I go, you know what? He does a good job. I'm just going to go with him. Here's how he puts this in this understanding this section. The skeptic does not have the freedom to critically examine Jesus' teaching and the character of the kingdom to determine if it satisfies rationally established criteria before repenting and entering into it. Did you hear that? All right? You don't stand on the outside and say, okay, I want to make sure this all makes sense. And then maybe I'll come to the Lord. According to Jesus, there's no possibility of adopting a posture of critical distance so that one might coolly determine whether one will commit. Jesus says, hey, you, follow. Those who take this position will grow in confusion over the kingdom. It will not make any sense. Even the little grasp of it that one has will be taken away. See, that's it. That's what makes sense. If you're just trying to coolly step back, and rashly try to understand Jesus and it all makes sense. It's not going to make sense. It can't make sense. And then as you'll grow colder and colder, it's just going to go away. It's going to go away. Jesus here reveals the momentum of two alternative postures toward Jesus' teaching. If someone wants to maintain their distance and critically assess what Jesus has to say, They cannot assume they are in a static position regarding kingdom realities. Canoe in the river. This posture towards the kingdom has momentum away from the understanding the logic of Jesus' teaching and away from perceiving the power of the kingdom. This person will diminish in understanding and will increasingly lose sight of why the kingdom is worth one's complete commitment. Alternatively, the one who lives into the reality of the kingdom will experience its life-giving power and the wonder of its counterintuitive logic. The one who serves and gives herself to loving others and meeting needs, the more she is flooded with God's own life, the more she inhabits and is filled with the power of God. Where one might think that genuine life is found in wealth and the accumulation of symbols of status, the upside-down nature of the kingdom means that life is found in self-expenditure and in providing hospitality to those who have nothing to offer. It is by practicing the wisdom of the cross that the wisdom of the cross appears truly wise, and does so increasingly. We live this life of the cross, and in living that life, it makes sense to live the life of the cross. When we give ourselves, and we've seen this, I can recall, the few times I've had the privilege of going on like a short-term mission. You know, I've been to Mexico a couple times. And then, you know, again, that makes sense. You know, you go and you serve these people, nothing to give. You just work, and it's hot, and it's the most joyous thing I've ever experienced. I've never felt closer to God. I've never felt closer to my brothers and sisters in Christ when I'm actively living out the call of Jesus to help others and to not care about myself. And then last, he says, and this happens to those with the eyes of faith, who first give themselves to God, and then grow in a set of habits whereby one's life is wedded to the kingdom of God. So it kind of makes sense. Now, again, there's a lot of kind of questions that kind of bubble up from this, okay? Because you read that, and I think about things like the role of apologetics in like evangelism, that kind of thing, right? There's a whole world of people, you know, and they devote themselves to explaining, you know, that God exists, or that Christ's this way makes sense, or, you know, all these things that we apologize, we try to make sense of, right? And what we seem to be seeing here is Jesus saying, well, you know, yeah, but you have to follow me. And if you follow me, you're going to get it. And if you don't follow me, you're not going to get it. So in our evangelism or in our apologetics, where does that fall? You know, and it's interesting because, again, I read here and I kind of, oh, okay, it kind of, maybe apologetics aren't that big a deal. I read another one of my commentaries, and he says, and this shows us how absolutely important apologetics is. Okay, what are you doing? Hey, it's important. All right, we do want to understand, but we have to understand the limitations. Okay, I am never, in the power of my own rhetoric, in the brilliance of my study, in my ability to speak, I will never, in those things, bring someone to Christ. Nobody, after hearing me speak to them, is going, oh, Steve, that was brilliant. It all makes sense now. I want to be a Christian. All right? Can't happen. That's not how it works. Okay? The coming of faith is an act of the Spirit. It's God's calling. And then our choice to follow him. And so we have to understand the limitations. Not that, again, we have to explain. Just, okay, on Friday evening, I'm at work. You know, I work in car dealership. And, very interesting environment. And it was kind of slow at the end. And so there's four of us, myself and then another salesperson and then our finance director and one of the managers. And there's a pickup truck in the middle of the floor there. And we're all standing around the box, just kind of hanging out. Hey, how are you doing? Kind of thing, right? And out of nowhere, well, not out of nowhere, you know, Pastor Steve is out there, right? So, hey, Steve, you're the pastor. And they just take little joys, I think, in just seeing if they could push my buttons. You know, they'll just say something just crude or outrageous, sometimes just really disgusting, and they look at me. What's the pastor going to do? How's the pastor going to react, right? It's hilarious. I just go, come on, grow up, whatever. You know, I don't care. I just, whatever, yeah, you're fine. But out of nowhere, all of a sudden, we start talking religion. And the guy says, I just don't understand how, it just makes no sense to me that people would, you know, give their lives to a God that doesn't exist. We have no proof. You can't verify they exist, so why would I follow it? Oh, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And I'm like, interesting. Now, again, I could talk to him, blew my face to him. You know, oh, look at creation and blah, blah, you know, science. And, you know, all, and we can't, and we should, right? But at the end of the day, he's going to say, that doesn't prove anything. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't prove a thing. You know, I would invite you, though. Come and follow and see what happens. That's evangelism. You know, I don't have to convince anybody of anything. I just say, hey, you know what? I follow Jesus, and it makes sense. This life makes sense. This is how we were truly made to be. If you want to be truly human, if you want to truly be the image of God as we're supposed to be created to be, follow this path. I tell you, and you want to know if God's real? Yeah, I can't, like, open the door, yeah, here he is. But I can introduce you because I know he's there. I've met him, I know him as much as I know you right now. And it may seem crazy to you. I understand. I get it. It is crazy. That's fine. Try it. Just try it. Your life's hard right now. You're struggling. Is your life falling apart? Are you fearful? Are you sick? Are your relationships falling apart? Are you looking at this world and thinking it doesn't make any sense? You're right. Hey, how about we just come over and try this? What do you got to lose? And maybe your ears will hear. And maybe in that tickling of hearing, you're like, I'm going to lean in a little bit. I want to know more. That's what we want to draw people to. We see, I mean, the science, learning, all these things, you know, it reflects God's kingdom. It's very interesting. I was reading one of these books I have, and he was just making comparison how you'll have like nature, and like Jesus' work on the cross and salvation and the work of becoming a disciple, all very similar means of working, of images of death and resurrection, right? Nature. I mean, this all we see in science is this process of God's making things. And he kind of builds into all these things, this idea of death and coming back and life and how things come together, and, you know, and how, you know, we're going to see next week how a tiny little seed can grow into a huge plant. And in salvation, we see that, no, we need Jesus' death and resurrection to bring us to him. And in discipleship, he's calling us to that same path of saying no to ourselves and accepting his death and then the hope of a resurrection. See, so we have these things available to us to invite people in. We can trust that God will do the work. God will do the work. So I would encourage us today as we finish this off. Jesus' teaching, and particularly in parables, compels us. It's meant to unsettle our hearts a bit. We should ask questions. And I would say to you today, ask the question, has your listening and hearing become complacent in any way? And it's easy to do. It happens on a daily basis sometimes. Right? But when you are aware of it, then lean in. Lean in. Carefully consider. Read God's word in a way and say, what does Jesus say? When we react to people in our communities, as we react to people in our families, as we think of how we treat others, think of how, is this cruciform? Is it cross-shaped? Are we following the path of Jesus? Let those who have ears hear. And carefully consider then what you're hearing. Let's pray. Father God, I'm grateful for your words and the challenge they give to us. And Lord, I'm grateful for each person here as they have heard you and have considered you. And I pray that each one of us, that by your Spirit, you would help us to more and more and more lean in and carefully consider and put to action your words and how you want us to live in a cross-shaped life. It's hard, we know that. But you give us the strength and you give us each other. And so we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here.